In this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, I'm once again joined with the dynamic duo, Nigel and Louise Reed, as we continue our mini-series on brave prophets in difficult days. This one's right for you. Hello, loyal listeners, and a very warm-hearted greeting. We are glad you are here. It's another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. And once again, I am joined in the studio here in my house, my home where I live with David and the children, by the dynamic duo of greatness that is Nigel and Louise Reed, our Southern Irish apostle and prophet combo. How are you, Nigel and Louise Reed?
You sound like a meal that you can get at your local diner.
A combo, did I say?
Or a combo.
Or a combo.
A South of Ireland combo. It's like Southern fried chicken combo. Southern Irish combo.
We're back to our favourite food. Sorry about
potatoes,
that.
Potatoes, not chicken.
What will I call you? Powerhouse foundational stones.
Dynamic duo.
Apostle and prophet.
You can call us. Husband and wife like everyone else.
Husband and wife.
Yes, call us what you like.
Mr. and Mrs.
Mr. and Mrs., yes. Mr. and Mrs. Reed, who also currently live in your house, as well as you and David and your children.
You see, the funny thing is, when you say Mr. and Mrs. Reed, that's because we call you the Nigels.
I know you do.
So I always think of you being Louise Reed Nigel and you being Nigel Nigel because we've just named you the Nigels for so long.
Well, there
so
you
good
go.
They named them twice, Nigel Nigel.
Nigel Nigel.
Oh, dear.
As if Nigel once wasn't bad enough.
No, don't you be saying that. But the question is, because what do you call us?
Well, we definitely
call you the Starks.
The Starkers or the Starkies.
Stark Raving Mad.
And then we call this place Stark Manor.
Stark Manor. Stark Manor.
We're all going to Stark Manor. Stark Manor,
the orphanage for all wayward prophets.
Or Stark Raving Mad.
Anyway, apparently, I've never seen Game of Thrones. I don't like any of that.
No, I haven't either.
Nonsense. But apparently the winning family in it is called the Starks, but who would know? They're kings. People often say that to me. Or the educated talk to me about an architect, famous architect by the name of Stark. The movie buffs talk to me about Tony Stark, Iron Man, from the Marvel franchise.
Isn't there a great well-known historian called Stark as well, is there?
That's David Starkey.
Starkey.
He's a British. But the worst of the worst is those who grew up in the days of Prince Andrew's fall from grace.
Coup Stark.
That's right. Yeah. No, I am not related to any of them, shall we just say.
From hilarious.
Porn star to superhero to royal kings to.
You've told us who isn't. Fair enough.
Are we related to?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yes. Well, right. Yes. Right back, obviously. Well, that's a Scottish name.
It is. So, from Perthshire. You
know, so the roots are back here. Yeah.
Totally. For me, it's Reed from Perthshire, and my mother's a Kyle from the west coast of Scotland.
Reed, is that Reavers, Border Reavers
All our family names are part of the Border Reavers. All of our family. My side and his
You're
side.
You're actually Scottish, but you just put on this Southern Irish accent.
Well, we came over with the plantations.
Well, both of my sides have many of my sites have Scottish roots.
This house that we live in, we always like to say, is older than America.
Yes. And it is.
It is.
And there are days that you probably feel like it's older than
it's the draftiness of such an old property. It's the damp because the building work was not up to, it's the thickness of the
lack of insulation.
Oh my days. All of that. But I love an older house. I cannot stand a new build. Characterless, soulless boxes.
Well, we lived in quite
warm.
That is true.
Oh, why would you want a new build when you can have an old house that you strap a hot water bottle to your backside?
Can I tell you, the Irish love a draft. And I don't mean one that you pour like that.
I don't mean one.
We love a draft. So in a new build, we're forever opening windows.
Why do you love a wee draft?
Because it's good for you. We're taught from birth. Yeah. It's good for you.
A wee bit of fresh air.
A bit of fresh air. And always a bedroom window needs to be open.
I know we're supposed to be prophesying, but my mother-in-law has always slept in freezing cold Glasgow with their window open at night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, you don't do the same.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I say.
But you're breathing in the cold air into your lungs.
I think it's good for you to have fresh air in the bedroom. The bedroom.
I don't want to.
Don't go down that route, Emma. Don't resist the temptation.
Can I tell you, for years in Ireland, we lived in a house, a large house that had many, many drafts. It was a wonderful, beautiful place. But since we came to Scotland, we were in a new build.
Yes.
Not a draft in sight. You never knew what the weather was like outside because it was warm the whole time on the inside. And I'll tell you, it's not the same.
Is it hermetically sealed is the word?
Yeah. Oh, something like that.
Yeah. It's not hermeneutically.
So it could be minus 10 outside.
Yes.
And you'd wake up in the morning and the house was warm.
Beautifully warm.
Yeah.
No, that will never happen here.
It will.
Unless, I don't know. Yeah, anyway, no new builds. Bless you if you're in a new build.
Yes.
Bless you if you're in a drafty house.
Yes. Okay. Yes, indeed.
Now, we are sort of doing a mini series here on... lesser known brave prophets.
Yes.
2025, the year of courage in chaos.
Yes.
And the days of war, but safety in God. Uh-huh. The days of the warrior arc. I'm quoting a prophetic word from Rebecca King.
Yeah.
Our prophet friend in Canada. And so we are jumping straight to you, Nigel Reid, of the Nigels.
Nigel.
Give us another lesser known prophet who's really brave. Now, if you didn't listen to the last episode, go and listen to it because it's a better introduction as to why you need this. But this means that it doesn't matter how known you are in the eyes of the world. God will use you where you are. You might not get a biblical book named after you or be named after it yourself. But God is pulling up these lesser known people and demanding actually a level of courage that will shock you. You're about to be shocked by your own courage that God is requesting that you find within you. That's the first word.
Absolutely.
So you're going to read to us from 2 Chronicles, Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 12. Tell us the story, Nigel.
Yeah, and so you do need to go back and look at the introduction to the last one to get the context of why we're looking at courageous, lesser-known prophets. And actually, we're not going on to another one just yet. We're going to stick with the same one for a second round. It's almost like the Shemaiah, the sequel.
Oh.
That's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Because good old Shemaiah, you know, he faced up to Rehoboam and the whole 187,000 in the last episode. And, and we worked through that. But Rehoboam, by 2 Chronicles 12, it says Rehoboam in the first verse, Rehoboam's position was established and he became strong.
As king. He's the king.
So he's the king. And in this case, he's still the king of Israel. Hasn't quite split.
Strong kings are often... dangerous. The chapter opens with a strong king.
Yeah.
And we think we've got the pronunciation of the prophet's name right.
Yeah.
Shemaiah.
But if it's Shemaiah, not...
Wasn't Shemaiah Twain? This is just Shemaiah.
Shemaiah, not Shemaiah Twain.
So that don't impress me.
But there's an important point in that first verse of 12. It says... he and all Israel with him abandoned the law of the Lord because they had been unfaithful to the Lord.
What a tragic verse, the Nigels, that you get the abandonment of God in your own established strength.
Yeah, I know. It is tragic.
Yeah.
And God decides to deal with it. And, you know, he says he raises up Shishak, I think that's his pronunciation, Shishak, king of Egypt, attacked Jerusalem in the fifth year of King Rehoboam.
I mean, Flip, how often do we learn that through history?
Yeah.
Not just about nations, but about us individually, that hardness of heart and stubbornness against some things that God is saying, and God raises up a strength against you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's a strength. When you read the next few lines, I'm not going to go through them all, but man, this is a big army and it's coming against Jerusalem. And it says there came as far as Jerusalem And at that moment, it says, then the prophet Shemaiah came to Rehoboam and the leaders of Judah who'd assembled in Jerusalem for fear of Shishak. And he said to them, this is what the Lord says. You have abandoned me. Therefore, I now abandon you to Shishak.
What a word.
Now, there is a brave, brave prophet.
Oh,
you know, the armies are massing, you know. So often in these situations, Emma, in the Old Testament, we get some prophet comes along and says, well, it's Jerusalem. God's never going to let it down. His temple is here. All of these things. It's going to be all right. And it isn't all right.
And actually, Jerusalem is destroyed, attacked, pillaged repeatedly. Yeah,
exactly. Many times.
And in this instance, we'll see later on, they go in and they take a lot of the gold that David and Solomon, who are father and grandfather of Rehoboam, have accumulated in the temple, and they have to use it to buy off Shishak.
I think in this story, I'm looking at the numbers of the army again for your reference, 2 Chronicles 12, if you want to follow along with us. You've got the king, strong, rebellious against God, with 60,000 horsemen. And the innumerable troops of the Libyans joining, and 1,200 chariots.
Yeah.
What it must be to look from your city walls and see the advance of that. Yeah. And you would want a word that says that a David and Goliath, but you will overcome. Yes. You've been a bit off, but. You know, God, you know, look, you've sinned a wee bit, but God will overlook it. You've rebelled against God as a people, but, you know, God will just go there and pat you on the head, you know, and you can reinforce your own wrong sense of comfort. I've watched nations do this, and you'll know whether this applies to your own nations because this podcast is listened to around the world. But most of our nations are sort of that way wired, you know, even our churches. Well, we've not quite got it right, but God will overlook. And we think that we form this elitist opinion that God will overlook. And here comes in a brave prophet to the middle of the fear of the people and says, basically, you're doomed.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically,
you've
you're
abandoned
doomed.
Me, therefore, and I now abandon you.
Yeah. And then it says, the leaders of Israel and the king humbled themselves and said, the Lord is just. Now, there's something, you know, you come and you prophesy, and then the king actually listens and he actually repents.
The humbling.
And he humbles himself. So you think that actually they've pushed off Shishak. They have, you know, they've repented, so it's going to be all right. But it isn't. And that's the interesting
even
thing.
Even after repentance. Yes.
Yeah. And this is the piece that caught me with this. I mean, by this stage when I was reading this, you know, this guy Shimeak, who I hadn't heard before, really. I mean, I've read him 100 times, but I'd never really grasped him. He is some character because he's now done his second brave prophecy to Rehoboam. But it says this, when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, since they have humbled themselves, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. Now, you kind of wonder if there's people going, you see, really, you've now backed off your strong words. You know, that sort of way you get that sometimes with the prophetic, you know, I'll water it down.
Yes, yes.
But this guy is brave and he stands up and he says, you know, no. But then in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 12, this is the piece that caught me. And I suppose as I listen to this, Emma, I'm thinking about some of the things we've talked about recently about the judge prophets.
The prophets very much in Scripture sit within a shofat, that's the Hebrew word for judge. They sit within a judge anointing. Mm-hmm. They are to judge between. Now, many people get nervous about that word, but we judge what to wear every day and we judge which cereal to eat for our breakfast. Mm. But there's this very specific anointing that we see in Scripture in many of the prophets where they have to judge with God, for God, on behalf of the divine council and make a judgment and bring forth a judgment word in the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are weaker and poorer for not having understood that that is in scripture.
Yeah.
It's brutal to have to be that. It's not easy to receive that. No. But this is who God is. He is the righteous judge. And he is judging all the time. We think only of God as the end time judge, mm-hmm. the white throne mm-hmm. judge. And he is that, the last day judge of a single moment where he judges and sums up history, but he's also the continual judge, yes. not just the white throne final end day judge.
Yes.
He's both.
Yeah.
So we partner with him often in his judgments, judging. Which we read in scripture, bring righteousness to the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Shimei has to stand up and he says, Shimei.
Yeah, the prophet.
He does a shimmy.
The prophet. Shimei. Yes.
Uh-huh. He says, that the Lord says, I will not destroy them, but will soon give them deliverance. My wrath will not be poured out on Jerusalem through Shishak. However, they will, however, become subject to him, so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands. I find that a fascinating statement.
In other words, the army comes in, the army takes over.
Yeah.
They have been warned. Yeah. They have repented.
Yeah.
But they still have to walk out judgment.
Yeah.
And they are not destroyed. Yeah.
Their lives have been spared.
Their lives have been spared, but there is still judgment.
Mm-hmm. And you are learning that actually the reign of somebody like Shishak is really far harsher than the reign of the Lord over you.
Uh-huh, they are learning
that. You know, they are learning that because they had, going back to the start of the chapter, they had abandoned the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And people become very comfortable. We're in the third generation of this Davidic line. Jerusalem is in good shape, actually.
Yeah.
Things are going well. We like the way our world is. Mm-hmm. And so they back off and they abandon the ways of the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm not having that. And come and taste what it's like for the people outside. Come and taste what a king of Egypt is like.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm going to spare Jerusalem because of your repentance, and they call him the Lord is just, and because of that, but nevertheless, you're going to taste. Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating. Sometimes the Lord lets his people taste what something awful is like, just so we really appreciate.
Learn the lesson.
Learn the lesson.
I think that's fascinating. Again, personal questions, and we couldn't unpack it if you want, or it's a yes or no answer. But have you ever found that you've been in the wrong place or doing the wrong thing, and you've repented, and you think, oh God, in your mercy, my repentance is sufficient for you to lift this? And God says, no, I'm glad that you're repentant, but you will have to learn more. And the learning more is you walk out a judgment where in your humility before God and your repentance before God, you are forced, backed into a corner of deep, deep, deep learning. You don't get off scot-free. I think we've all walked out a judgment of God.
Yeah. Even when you're saying judgment, I don't know how our listeners receive that word, but judgment is not punishment. Judgment is simply judgment. And the judgments of God are righteous. I don't know what you're thinking about now when you're asked that question. If I gave a very simple answer to that, one testimony was there was not long after we were first married, we made some choices. They were God choices, the direction of God. But in the journey of that, our finances got a little bit awry. Now, I'm not talking a lot of money, but we had a credit card debt and we knew we had done wrong. We knew.
Sure everybody will have a
financial story. I'm fairly sure
everybody will have a financial story, because I do think it's one of life's kind of ebbs and flows that most people hit. There is presumption, or there's overextension, or there's thinking you're following the will of God, or there's just sometimes basic stupidity and mismanagement.
Well, it was a bit of mismanagement just, because we were busy doing other things.
And then you repent and we God were, says, but the we, only way you learn this is you walk it out.
Exactly. And we had a very specific situation, but it was so obviously the hand of God, the judgment of God, a righteous judgment. But can I say, in his judgments, there is redemption. And in that, there was resolution, actually, and there was a glorious learn, which I don't think we've ever forgotten because we saw the kindness of God and the discipline of God wrapped up together. That's just a little one that came to mind.
Yeah. I mean, I think one realizes that there is a difference between repentance and living with the consequences.
Yes. Yeah.
And sometimes you repent because your heart has changed and you realize what you did wrong, but you still have to deal with some of the consequences of what happened. Mm-hmm. I remember the leader of our old church many years ago, good Calvinist man, he used to say, if you grow a field of wheat when you were supposed to grow a field of barley and you repent of it, God will forgive you, but you still got a field of wheat and not a barley. He doesn't change the barley to wheat. And, you know, it's a silly example in a sense, but there's something deep in that that actually...
You reap what you sow.
You know, we have these ideas in Louise's case that she's talking about. I would have loved God to produce a check that I could just
make
know,
it go away.
But we learnt over a period. He provided a way out.
Yes.
We get that in scripture. Is it in
1 Corinthians 10:13?
That's right. He provided a way out. But we still have to live the consequences. And for a season of our lives, we knew we were paying back a debt that we had incurred. And we got it sorted, but it was gone. And so the consequences against the repentance. And this verse that we're looking at here with this brave prophet Shemaiah, they will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings. And I think the interesting thing is that the Egyptians come in, they invade the temple of God. You think, well, God never let them into my temple.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. They go in and they take all the gold shields.
Personal places.
And then Pearl Rehoboam says he has to replace the gold shields with bronze ones.
Yeah, it's a bit of a humiliation. It is. God seems to not be so faced with that. And let's apply this into nations, because clearly this is written to nations.
Yeah.
And the story of how God works in nations, that he so desires holiness and learning and character and perseverance, trainedness. He's so righteous that he will take nations into remarkably painful and uncomfortable place to learn the lesson of God. But in all of this, it's one lesser known, almost unknown prophet whose name we're not even sure how to pronounce.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I mean, seriously, Shemaiah is spelled S-E-S-H-S-H-E-M-A-I-A-H. And we're riffing off Isaiah to get the pronunciation for Shemaiah. But that sense there of you can actually steward a nation and help a nation in its understanding in sin and judgment. And you can sound awfully harsh. I would say that's the word I've heard frequently leveled at some of the prophets within GPA. Oh, they're harsh. I actually don't think that that's the spirit we exhibit or have any partnership with. I do think we're bold truth tellers. And sometimes actually what we're saying is deeply redemptive because it's helping people understand the journey and that the word of the Lord, even though there's a strength to it, and the word of the Lord, even it's saying, oh my days, you guys are going to not like this. Oh my goodness. You know, that words are rarely ever brought, or they shouldn't be brought, with arrogance, but they are holding nations in days of deep and unpleasant consequence because you can't shortchange God and you can't circumnavigate his ways. And the brave prophet, the brave revelator, whether it's to a person or to a church or to a region or to a nation, whichever level you find yourself at, some of the words will be deeply holding to a people, though their sound will be a sound that reads as actually there's going to be great loss here. But at least you know it's God, and at least you know that means there's a way through.
Yes. Yeah. And he's always wanting to bring us back into the fullness of him. I mean, we don't necessarily read it here, but the sense of when they had abandoned his ways,
mm-hmm.
how God even says, you know, I now abandon you, you know, to Shishak. Just the sense of how God really, he's going to operate and function, prophetic word, and then the delivery of the justice. But it's always bringing people back to him.
Yeah.
And in this instance, you know, humbling them and then teaching them so that they could actually find out mm-hmm. what it's like when they're under the rule and the reign of something else other than his goodness. But he's wanting to teach us. He's wanting, and sometimes it yes. does feel, I'm not going to use the word harsh, but it is redemptive mm-hmm. because it's always about bringing us back to him.
Don't you think that if we read scripture more, that we would be less shocked?
Well, that's it. If we only choose certain pieces to yeah. read
yes.
Repetitively, well, yes. then we can very much get into a little bit of a silo of some of the personality and the character mm-hmm. of God, rather than the full scripture mm-hmm. that gives us a great understanding of how he deals with us as individuals, as families, and mm-hmm. as nation groups and people groups.
And we've got to keep looking for this treasure that's in scripture, because, you know, I would guess that many people don't naturally hang around 1 and 2 Chronicles. It's not the easiest place in the world, or it's even true, 1 or 2 yeah. Kings, and every yeah. king who doesn't pull down a high place and doesn't follow the ways of David or whatever. But mm-hmm. where we're reading scripture under the guidance of the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit, it is remarkable to me how often he quickens things. This is a great old Lectio mm-hmm. Divina phrase.
Yeah, yeah.
This thing shimmers. And in this instance for me, you know, as we bring the stories of Shemaiah to an yeah. end, this verse 8 is really what shimmered yeah. to me in this second story about Shemaiah.
Yeah.
They will, however, become subject to him so that they may learn the difference between serving me and serving the kings of other lands. And mm-hmm. with all the chaos and turmoil that's going on in the world, mm-hmm. I kind of just felt again, mm-hmm. I want to make sure I know I'm serving the King of Kings, because all those other kings are far harder taskmasters.
And actually putting nations into what looks like under tyrannical rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah. God's saying, well, you can live with that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, we've come to the end of this episode of What the Prophet's Saying. We bless you. We bless you to be able to read and understand scripture uh-huh. with new eyes, and to understand that the ebb and flow and the hardship sometimes of lives and nations is exactly the right place God wants them to be in, that they may learn his ways and learn his place as High King. And we bless you to be brave revelators who know exactly when to speak this stuff. And we bless you to be wise inhabitants of your nations who don't cry out for something that God is not wanting to give. And so thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark, and Nigel and Louise Reed. We will look forward to joining you very soon. Take care. Bye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.